Welcome back. In this lesson, we're making one of those old-school DNB low-end tricks that can make a tune feel way bigger than it really is. A distorted ghost note, resampled in Ableton Live 12, then shaped into a floor-shaking bass layer. The whole vibe here is not let's design one huge bass patch and hope it works. It's more surgical than that. We're taking a tiny bass note, giving it attitude, printing it to Audino, and then using that audio-like percussion. That's the secret. In drum and bass, especially jungle, rollers, and darker halftime leaning stuff, the bass doesn't just sit there. It answers the drums. It pushes back. It breathes between the hits. So what are we building? We're building a resampled ghost note system. That means a short bass hit with a bit of dirt and movement, bounced to audio, then edited so it can sit under the break without fighting the kick and snare. The sub stays clean and focused, while the ghost note provides the nasty mid-range and upper harmonics that help the bass translate on smaller systems and still feel heavy on a proper rig. Let's start with the source. Create a new MIDI bass track and load something simple. Operator is perfect if you want a pure sine or near sine sub. Wave Eatable is great if you want a little more harmonic complexity. Analog works nicely too if you want a slightly older, thicker character. Keep the source simple. That matters. Distortion loves a clean input, and in DNB, clean low-end control is everything. Use a short note, somewhere around D-sharp 1, F1, or G1 depending on your key. You're not writing a full bassline yet. You're making a ghost note. So think short, almost throwaway, but still intentional. A 16th note is a great starting point. An 8th note can work too if the groove has space. Now shape it so it behaves like a ghost and not a full-on bass stab. Keep the velocity moderate, maybe around 70 to 100. Don't make it too loud yet. If the note feels too stiff, nudge it slightly off the grid and listen to the groove. In drum and bass, those tiny timing shifts can completely change the feel. A note just before the snare can feel eager and tense. A note just after can feel dragging and menacing. Both can be killer if you're consistent. If the source is too static, add a little movement, maybe a touch of pitch envelope, maybe a very slight filter movement, maybe a tiny detune if you're using two oscillators. Just enough to give the note some personality. We want it to feel like it's muttering under the drums, not shouting over them. Now we get to the fun part, distortion. On the bass track, build a simple chain before resampling. Saturator is a great starting point. Push the drive somewhere around 3 to 8 dB and listen. If the level gets wild, use soft clip to keep it under control. Then add drum bus if you want more bite and density. Keep the drive moderate, maybe 10 to 25%, and be careful with the boom. We're not trying to blur the sub. We're trying to add harmonics and attitude. If you want to use roar, that works really well too. Just stay controlled. Focus on generating character, not just brute force fuzz. The goal is a bass note that reads on systems that can't reproduce deep sub very well, while still staying tight enough for a proper DNB mix. Then add EQ 8 if needed. If the low end is getting too loose, high pass gently around 20 to 30 Hz to clean up the rumble. If the distortion gets nasal or boxy, tame the nasty area around 2 to 5 kHz or the low mid buildup around 150 to 400 Hz. In drum and bass, the low mids can get crowded fast, especially with breaks already taking up so much space. So be disciplined. Now we print it. Create a new audio track and set the input to resampling. Arm that track and record a few bars of the bass phrase. I like recording at least 2 to 4 bars so you've got options. You might capture one pass with just the ghost note, another pass with the full phrase, and another pass with some automation movement on the distortion or filter. That gives you more than one usable texture, and in DNB, variation is gold. Once it's recorded, open the audio clip and start trimming. Find the useful transient and cut away any dead space before it. Use tiny fades if you need to smooth clicks. If the tail is too long and starts clouding the groove, shorten it. Let the sub do the sustaining. The ghost note should behave more like a drum accent than a bass line holding a chord. This is where resampling starts paying off. You're no longer trying to coax a synth into the exact shape you want. You're editing audio like a producer. That means you can chop the front edge, trim the tail, duplicate the strongest hit, and place it exactly where it works best. Timing is everything here. In a DNB loop, the ghost note might land before the snare to create tension, or just after the snare to create that dreading, dangerous feel. It might sit on an offbeat between kick and snare to create roll and forward motion. Try a few placements. A tiny move can change the whole emotion of the loop. Now layer it properly. Don't let the distorted layer carry all the deep sub. Keep a separate clean sub underneath. Operator is great for this. A pure sine is perfect. Keep it mono. Keep it focused and let it hold the foundation. If needed, sidechain it lightly to the kick so the groove has room to breathe. For the resampled ghost note layer, high pass it if the sub is already covering the bottom. Somewhere around 50 to 90 etched is often enough, depending on the arrangement. Let this layer live more in the 90 to 250 etched zone, where it can add weight, presence, and that nasty little bark that makes the bass feel alive. And this is a really important mindset shift. Think in bands, not just bass. The true sub is one job, the audible low-mid punch is another, the dirty upper harmonics are another. If one layer is trying to do all three, the mix usually gets vague. Separation is power. Next, add movement with automation, but keep it subtle. You do not need to automate everything. In fact, that's usually a mistake. Pick one or two things. Maybe an auto filter cutoff that opens slightly into the note and then closes. Maybe saturator drive that rises a little toward the end of the phrase. Maybe a small drum bus drive bump on certain hits. Tiny moves can make the bass feel alive without sounding overproduced. A good rule, if the drums are already busy, the automation should be tiny. A few percent can beat enough. In DNB, the groove is already doing a lot of the heavy lifting. Now place the ghost note in a real arrangement context. Don't just drop it in randomly. Give it a job. Maybe it answers the first snare in a two-bar phrase. Maybe it pushes into the drop at the end of a break edit. Maybe it appears only in the second half of a four-bar loop, so the phrase evolves instead of looping flat. That's a classic DNB move. A little bass gesture can make the whole section feel more alive. For example, in a 174 BPM roller, the drums hit hard on the snare, and the ghost note lands just before bar 2 snare is a quick distorted answer. The listener feels the bass lean into the drum hit. Then the sub comes back fully on the next phrase for release. That push and pull is the whole game. Now let's tighten the whole system on a bass bus. Route the sub and ghost note layer to a bass bus if you can. On the bus, keep the processing gentle. A glue compressor with maybe 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction can help glue things together. EQ8 can remove buildup. Utility is useful for mono checking. If the bass feels facey or too wide, collapse it harder. In darker DNB, a lot of the power comes from discipline center energy. Wide low end often sounds bigger in solo and weaker in the mix. A few common mistakes to avoid here. First, don't distort the sub too much. Let the ghost note layer carry the grit. Second, don't make the note too long. A long tail can destroy the groove fast. Third, don't let low-mid distortion stack up and make the bass boxy. Fourth, don't forget to resample more than once. Multiple passes give you options. And fifth, always check the ghost note against the snare. If they're fighting, move the timing or trim the transient. Here's a nice pro move: print multiple versions. Make one cleaner pass, one moderately driven pass, and one more aggressive pass. Then alternate them in the phrase. Maybe the cleanish one works in the intro, the heavier one hits in the drop, and the most degraded one works as a transition or a variation. That gives you evolution without needing a brand new bassline. You can also get more experimental. Duplicate the printed clip and offset a few copies by a 30-second note for a rolling stutter. Or pitch a copy up or down a semitone and filter it hard. Or create parallel aggression by duplicating the clip, distorting the duplicate harder, and high-passing it so it only adds attitude. Those tiny details can make the bass feel much more alive. And don't underestimate mono. A dirty hit that feels average in stereo can feel massive when forced narrow and locked to the kick and sub. Try it both ways. If the centered version hits harder, trust that. In DNB, mono low end is often the move. So let's recap the workflow. Start with a clean bass source. Shape a short ghost note. Distort it tastefully with stock Ableton devices. Resample it to audio. Trim it aggressively. Layer it with a clean sub. Place it with purpose in the arrangement. Automate only a little. And keep checking mono and low-end clarity as you go. That's the whole idea. Make a small bass note do a big job. If you want a quick practice challenge, make a two-bar ghost note bass phrase right now. Use operator, wave-eatable, or analog. Add saturator and drum bus. Resample the phrase. Chop the best hit. Layer a clean sign sub under it. Make it answer the snare. Then automate just one thing, like filter, cutoff, or drive. Finally, listen in mono and make sure it still feels solid. If it still has attitude at low volume, you're doing it right. That's the kind of bass detail that can make a DNB tune feel finished, physical, and properly old school in the best way.